Today's scripture is Luke 10, 25 through 37. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "What is written in the law?" he replied. "How do you read it?" He answered, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." "You have answered correctly," Jesus replied. "Do this, and you will live." But he wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?"
In reply, Jesus said, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he was attacked by robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by the other side. So too a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper. 'Look after him,' he said, 'and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expenses you may have.' Which of these 3 do you think was a neighbor to this man who fell into the hands of the robbers?" The expert in the law replied, "The one who had mercy on him." Jesus told him, "Go and do likewise." These are the words of the Lord.
Thank you, Megan and Bunting, for the reading of God's word. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, we thank you and we honor you for the privilege to worship and praise you. Now, God, you are the potter. We are the clay. Mold us, shape us, make us, break us to what you need us to be for this worship experience. Holy Spirit, we give you full authority. Minister through my mind. Speak with my tongue. Love with my heart. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our focus text this morning starts at verse 33 through 36. And it reads, "But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was. And when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his donkey and brought him to an inn and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii and gave it to the innkeeper. 'Look after him,' he said, 'and when I return, I will reimburse you extra expense you may have.'" For the time that's mine, I want to preach this morning on radical generosity in the midst of uncertainty. Radical generosity in the midst of uncertainty. One of the difficult things in living in this season is that we have to live in this place of uncertainty. We are accustomed to making decisions based on what we know and placing our hope in the places where we don't know. One of the most recent books I've been reading is a book on influence by Dr. Robert Cialdini. And in the 4th chapter of his book, he writes on apathy. He talks about how one can be overlooked by a bystander who is in need versus a person who helps a bystander. What Cialdini discovered is that people who fail to help bystanders are not in a place of being unkind, but what they are is uncertain. I think that's good news for us because if you have traveled to any Martin Luther King Boulevard in any major city in America, you've probably had this experience pondering the question, should I help or am I being taken advantage of? Some of us have helped and some of us have walked by some people, and the research said that you are not being unkind, that you have been uncertain. One of the way Cialdini says we deal with this uncertainty is we look at things called social proof. Social proof is when we're uncertain on what to do in societal situations and we look to society to determine what our behavior should be. Let me see if I can put this where you can get it. Have you ever been driven in a car and you were caught in a traffic jam? And while you were in that traffic and you're sitting there watching, and you notice that some of the cars start to move over, and for some reason while you're watching it, you say, well, let me move over as well. You move over. And by the time you get up to the accident, you notice that the accident is in the same lane that you move. You end up having to move back over. Well, the reason why you shifted was because you were looking at social proof. You were looking at what other people were doing to determine what your behavior should be. Well, Grace City, when you are in the place of uncertainty, you don't need to look to social proof. We need to look for the Savior's proof. We need to look for the Savior's proof, because when we look to the Savior's proof, we can look to the hills from which comes our help, and our help comes from the Lord. Grace City, we don't have to look at the social proof. We can look at the Savior's proof. When we look for the Savior's proof, Paul says, for I reckon that the suffering of this present time is not worthy to be compared to the glory which shall be revealed in us. We don't have to look at the social proof. We can look at the Savior's proof, because the Savior's proof says that my God will supply all of my needs according to his riches and glory. Grace City, we don't need to look at the social proof. We need to look at the Savior proof, because when we look at the Savior's proof, the Apostle Paul says, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angel, nor principality, nor things present, nor things to come, nothing in all creation shall separate me from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Grace City, we don't need to look for social proof. We need to look for the Savior's proof. Well, in our text this morning, we find people in the place of uncertainty. Jesus is a few months away from going to the cross. He's headed to Jerusalem, and Jerusalem is certain about how he must die, but the people around him are uncertain on how they must live. The text opens with a scribe, a lawyer, an expert of the law, asking Jesus, what must I do to inherit eternal life? What must I do to live? Jesus does something very unique. He answers the question with a question. He says, what is written in the law? And he says, how do you read it? And the man answered, love the Lord God with all your heart, with all your might, and all your soul, and love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus looks at the man and said, you have answered correctly. And Jesus replied, do this and you will live. This scribe understood by confessing that he now held accountable to this. Jesus brings this scribe to a place of uncertainty. He was not certain about his love for his neighbor was a reflection of his love for God. And instead of him confessing, reflecting, and even redirecting, he tries to redefine. Instead of the scribe getting in line with the heart of God, he's trying to get God's heart aligned with his heart. Here's a question for you, Grace City. In this season of uncertainty, are you getting your heart aligned with God, or are you trying to get God's heart aligned with you? The scribe wants Jesus to get aligned with his heart, so he asks Jesus, who's my neighbor? It is from this question that Jesus tells the story of the Good Samaritan. A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and when he was there, he got attacked and robbed. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him there to die. But a priest happened to be walking by the same road, and he walked by him. And then there was another Levi who came to that same place and walk right past him on the other side. But the text says a Samaritan was traveling, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him, he bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his donkey, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day they took 2 denarii, gave it to the innkeeper, looked after him. He said, when I return, I will embrace you for an extra expense. Jesus is helping the man in the place of uncertainty by answering the question, who is my neighbor? But the question I have, Grace City, is in this parable is how could a priest and a master of the law, a Levite, walk past a man who is in need? Jesus, through this parable, is aligning our hearts with God's heart. For the scribe who was listening, the neighbor was a Jewish leader. Our people who are the same, these are people who are the same class system, who run in the same circles, who functions out of the same belief system. This man was Jewish, but he was bleeding, beat up on the ground. Maybe the men walked by him because they weren't unkind, but they were uncertain. See, and social proofing says when you're uncertain, people look to society to make the decision. See, the society says a priest don't come near someone who's bleeding because that person will make the priest impure and unclean. Blood during that time was something that was impure and unclean. And maybe the Levite and the priest said, I am not going near him because of the possibility of this contaminating me. Great City, I often wonder, do we have a priest and Levi mentality that sometimes we walk by people because we think that it contaminates us? But I come to tell you, Great City, that we cannot have that mentality. When we see people in pain and in hurting and we cannot use social proof, we have to use the Savior's proof. The danger in social proof is that when we walk by people who are hurting, we can find ourselves walking by in our own pluralistic ignorance. Well, you know, what is pluralistic ignorance? I'm glad you asked. Have you ever sat in a chemistry class and you had no idea what the teacher was talking about and you wanted to raise your hand and ask, teacher, can I ask you some questions? But you looked around the room and you noticed that nobody else was raising their hand, and you decided that I'm not gonna raise my hand and look dumb. I'm gonna act like I know what's going on and keep going. Well, that's pluralistic ignorance. Great City, I come to tell you, you can afford to walk by people in need of help when you are in a place of uncertainty. We can't look for proof from society to lean into our pluralistic ignorance and end up doing nothing for those who are in need in order to fit into the opinion of our culture. We have to look to the Savior proof, which leads to radical generosity. The Samaritan, who was the enemy to the Jews, sees this Jewish man injured and radically, radically gives generosity. He came to him. He saw him. He bandaged him. He took care of him. He paid for him. The generosity of the Samaritan was radical. Who was the neighbor in this parable is asked. It is the one the Jew hated. The Samaritan who hated the Jew were helped by the one who hated by them. The Samaritan, our neighbor, doesn't mean our next door neighbor. It could mean the stranger you give help in her hand to, the person you give encouraging word to, your neighbor, the one who hates you, but you are called to pray for. Jesus fulfills the law by saying that not only should we love our enemies like the Samaritan did, but God said, you have to do this through radical generosity. Verse 36 and 37 says, which of these three do you think was neighbors to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers? And the expert of the law, the scribe, said the one who had mercy on him. And listen to the words of Jesus. Jesus told him, go and do likewise. We are not called to social proof. We are called to the Savior's proof. The proof is radical generosity. God has called you, Great City, to radical generosity. Paul says, while we were sinners, Christ died for us. That was radical generosity. The old folks put it this way. They hung him high. They stretched him wide. He hung his head, bled, and died. But that's not how the story ends. Early Sunday morning, he got up with all power in his hand. That same power that conquered the grave lives in you and lives in me. And we are called to that radical generosity. Jesus calls us to radical generosity. We have to use the Savior's proof and not society's proof on what we should do in a time of uncertainty.